We're going to go to our scripture reading. If you will turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, or you can just listen. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, in him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them far from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they have been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Now, if you'll join me in saying our scripture declaration, Lord, we honor your word to us. May your truth become our heart's pursuit and our life's practice.
Amen. Thank you, Tiffany. I appreciate it. And I know that my time is short. We want to honor our moms, and we have a small presentation at the very end. I know I'm trying to get myself out of the way so you can focus on the cute kids that are coming up. I'm looking forward to that. I think it'll be a blessing to you. But I do want to talk a little bit about just the idea that we had just read a moment ago from Hebrews 11. If you remember, we've been talking about this whole concept of this being the Faith Hall of Fame, or the Hall of Faith there in Hebrews. And here it speaks of Sarah, who conceived very, very late and was barren for a number of years and then conceived later on in her years. And so I just want to kind of share with you some very, very important things. Do any of you guys hear about this skin-to-skin thing that's been happening? Have you all been hearing about that? It's like very important. I had no idea about this when I was young. But I love this because what's incredible is I Googled, you know, what are the long-term benefits of early skin-to-skin contact with a baby? And I know that Karen could probably tell you about this since she's a labor and delivery nurse and all of that stuff. But what's amazing is you begin to look at the fact that literally these moments of nurturing, these moments of connection from a mother to the child, literally have lasting benefits and effects into sometimes past their age of 10, 11, 12 years old. Isn't that incredible? That literally sometimes the first hour or two of being born into this world, being there with your mother, literally changes things in your brain chemistry, in your body's immune system, and it goes on and on and on. And all of this stuff is stuff that we didn't know until recently, but it's always been there. God has always had mothers giving us just a whole different view of the world, stabilizing us from the inside out, and just being something that is the influence of good and God in our lives. And so I find it amazing. I find it beautiful. And I want you to know, mothers, that there's something that you bring to the table every single time that cannot be reproduced and redone. And for most of us, I'm going to be honest with you, I've always wanted to be a really good dad. But when I had my first daughter, I was scared to death that I was going to drop her. I'm not kidding. All right. Now, I actually used to play wide receiver in football whenever I was a kid. And so I had pretty good hands, but I was nervous to death that I was going to be holding my daughter and somehow drop her and hurt her. I did not. I just want to say that I did avoid that. But my wife was always amazing about being like, hey, just don't worry about it. Everything's going to be fine. She wants you to hold her. And I'm like, she doesn't want me to hold her. I got nothing going on up here. You know, I got nothing to offer, you know. She's like, no, she wants you to hold her. And I loved being a dad with a mom who encouraged me to get in there and just take advantage of the opportunity that I had as a young father. Thank you, baby. You did an awesome job. So I just want to share with you, I wanted to share this right off the bat because there's so much that we see that moms bring to the table, and I never want you to forget that you literally are setting the course of action and the course of direction for your kids. And don't ever give up that incredible and incredibly unique opportunity that you have. Now, I would just want to share with you, can we do this? Can I bore you with one more baby picture? I've got to bore you with one more grandson picture. So isn't that sweet there on the left? That's my guy, Ben, and then that's Clark that he's looking at. And little Clark looks just like Ben did. He has like an old man forehead, which I love. I think is hilarious. But the beautiful woman on the right is literally one of the best mothers you could ever ask for. And the only thing that I could say is she was an amazing mom. I think she might even be an even better Lolly. Except for she wanted me to be Pop. And I was like, nah, that ain't happening. Lollipop, no, we're not doing that. I won't even wear the same color as she wears most of the time. So, you know, that was a pipe dream from the beginning. But Lolly, you're an amazing lady. She even came back for Mother's Day. I mean, isn't it good to have our guest Shelly with us today? So real quickly, all right, hit it out of the park. This is so valuable, and this goes right along with what I'm sharing today. This is so incredibly valuable because you probably would read this and you'd miss it, but this is three generations of godliness beginning and passing through the mothers. Paul's writing to Timothy, his closest friend, a man he calls his true son in the faith, and he says, I remember your tears. I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. In other words, from the grandmother to the mother to the man who is making a huge impact on a huge number of people in the world. Moms, you play an incredibly valuable role. Never give up this opportunity and never look down on yourself for what you bring to the table. So by faith, Sarah received power to conceive when she was past the age. And we see this passage of scripture here. She, from one man, him as good as dead, that's being her husband Abraham, that she bore a son to late in life. And talks about the being descendants as numerous as the stars of heaven, innumerable as the grains of sand by the seashore. We see this, and I've shared with you almost every single Sunday that we've talked about these people from the Faith Hall of Fame. And I've tried my very best to convey to you, these people are not in the Faith Hall of Fame because they were great and that they didn't make mistakes. This is incredibly encouraging to us. They're in the Faith Hall of Fame despite the mistakes that they made because they persisted and kept going. And I want to just share a couple of things with you very quickly. If you're a person who has an Amazon Prime subscription or a Hulu subscription, I watched this two-part Faithful Women of the Bible, and it's really good. It's free. It's not perfect as far as, you know, dead on with the Bible, but it is very good. I think it might actually open your eyes. So if you're interested and you want to check it out, it's good. You might even recognize that's Minnie Driver there in the middle, and she does a really good job. She plays Sarah, and it's interesting, and I think it might help you to see things from a different perspective. And one of the things that you will see is that you will recognize that she is not perfect, but she is faithful. How many of you know that you can be faithful and not be perfect? Ladies, can I get an amen? I mean, thank God for that, right? I'm grateful for the fact that I don't have to be perfect to be a man of faith. Now, so Sarai had her name changed just like Abram did. It was Sarai and Abram that became Sarah and Abraham. But let's look back and see what was said of them and what happened. And you kind of get this story. Now, I'm telling you, they're not perfect. Let's read about what we're talking about in Genesis 16. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. And she had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, "Behold, now the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. So go into my servant." In other words, let's make her a surrogate mother. "We're going to have you go into my servant. It may be that I shall obtain children from her." And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. So after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar the Egyptian, her servant, and gave her to Abraham, her husband, as a wife. And he went into Hagar. In other words, they had a sexual relationship, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked with contempt on her mistress. Who could have ever seen this being a sticky situation that belonged on Maury Povich, right? It's a mess. It's a mess. And Sarai said to Abraham, "May the wrong done to me be on you." This is your fault. "I gave you my servant to your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, she looked on me with contempt. May the Lord judge between me and you." I can tell you what Abraham's saying. "What did I do? I don't even know. Like, what did I do?" And she's like, "You shouldn't have said yes. That's what you shouldn't have done." I'm just telling you. This seems so janky to be somebody who's a Faith Hall of Fame member. Like, what are we doing? Well, here's the truth. The truth is that it's a custom in the Old Testament to use this kind of a surrogate. And so what basically happened was Sarai said, "Well, maybe the world has it figured out, and I didn't understand what God wanted from me. So let's try what the world says is okay." Y'all see where I'm going with this? Mothers, in a lot of ways, you are going to be tempted to listen to what the world says about motherhood. And you'll know more about what the Cosmopolitan magazine or somebody on TikTok says about being a mother than you will know what the scriptures say about being a mother if you're not very, very careful and very, very intentional. And so just like Sarai or Sarah and Abraham had their life really turned upside down by getting bad advice and listening to what the world said instead of what God had said, it changed everything for them. And I want to encourage you. It's very easy to go down that path rather than stay on the path that God has for you, especially when you feel like, it's like, hey, we're running out of time, Lord. I mean, I'm already old, and how's this ever going to work out? But don't miss this. Having a Hall of Fame faith is not about being perfect. It's about being present and being persistent. It is about being present and being persistent. Ladies, you don't have to be perfect. You may have something in your background already that you just don't like and you don't want anybody to know about. But here's what I know. God can still use you because it's not about being perfect. And as a matter of fact, he can even use your failures and your hurts to turn around things and be a blessing in a way to your kids that you might not have even believed it could be possible. So you don't have to be perfect. You just need to be present and persistent to be in your kids' life. Can I get an amen on that? All right, so very quickly, here's our big idea. A faithful mother's influence is eternal, but it is delivered daily, piece by piece. On the count of three, let's say it together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. A faithful mother's influence is eternal, but it is delivered daily, piece by piece. This is not something that I came up with. This is something that I heard and learned from a guy named Jim Cooley, who is the pastor of First Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama. He just put something out on the internet. I read it. I loved it because I feel like for many of us, fathers and mothers, we want to download everything. We want to swamp them because we're in a good place and they're listening and they don't have their phone in their hand, so we're going to give it to them all right now. But the truth of the matter is that what we need to do instead is say, you know what? I need to give it to him piece by piece by piece. And I don't need to worry about repeating myself because the truth is, how many times have you ever heard somebody, my dad always used to say, Or my mama always used to say, how many of y'all have ever heard that? How many of you all have ever said that? Why? Why do you remember what your mama always used to say? Because she always used to say it. Right? She kept saying it and kept saying it, and it began to stick. And then you realize later on when you turn, 23 and realize you didn't have it all figured out and she had something to offer, Like, you're like, oh, now I know why mama always used to say that. And it just hits different, right? It hits you in a different way. And so I just want to share with you, just be consistently, day by day, piece by piece, giving something to your kids. Very quickly, a faith-filled mother trusts God with the ends, the means, and the timeline of her life. It's not what Sarah did, is it? No. Lord, we know that the ends are you want to bless us with the son, so let me take care of the means to get us there. And we're going to get there a little sooner because I don't see you moving on this. So the timeline and the means I'll take care of. We already know you want to bless me with a son. So there it is. Y'all see how it got changed and jacked up real fast? Why? Because she didn't want to trust God with all of these three. And for many of you mothers, you want to trust him with one or maybe two, but not all three. You don't want to trust him with the ends, where he's taking you rather than where you want to go. The way you're going to get there, or the timeline on which you're going to get there. And if you can't give him all three, you are going down a path that will hurt you in the long run. And I just want to encourage you, trust him with the ends, trust him with the means, and trust him with the timeline. This is how it matters for you. So real quickly, they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? This is God speaking to Abraham. He says, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, Abraham said, well, she's in the tent. And the Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. This is now the second time she's being confirmed as being the one who will actually give birth to this son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now, Abram and Sarah were old, advanced in years, and the way with women had ceased to be with Sarah. In other words, she was a menopausal woman. She wasn't going to have a baby in a natural way. So Sarah laughed to herself and said, am I worn out? My Lord is old. Shall I have this pleasure? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I'm old? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. And look at this. Sarah denied it and said, I didn't laugh, for she was afraid. And the Lord said, no. You laughed. Yeah, you laughed too, right? Tell me the Lord doesn't have a sense of humor. This is not the perfect picture of being a woman of faith. Yes, Lord, of course. Just as you say it, like all of these things that are not always true of us, and yet God chose her to be a blessing and to do something powerful. Now, very quickly, I just want to share with you a faith-filled mother. Secondly, cheers for other women and doesn't compare or compete with them. And I just want to share with you, ladies, this is harder and harder and harder to do. To be a woman who cheers for others instead of competes or compares has become so much harder in our world of social media. And you're just cue the whole thing of you're comparing their highlight reel and their filtered life to your how the sausage is made life, and how it's just terrible for you and your psyche. I just want to encourage you, choose for the timeless and not the thing that seems really important in the moment. And the more and more and more you could say, I'm not in competition with these women. Life is hard enough for women to be, powerful and strong and doing their own thing without me tearing somebody else down. I just want to encourage you, ladies, cheer for other women. The sad thing is that Sarah was in a huge conflict with Hagar. Almost all of this life that Hagar lived after she did what Hagar did what Sarah had asked her to do. And so we can see that it might be the natural thing for us to go that way, but we have to fight that and instead, I'm better than that. And the Lord wants better for me than that. All right, so very quickly, I want to share with you, how do you come about this? Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 3 and 4 says these words. And I sent messengers to those who were trying to tempt me to come down off the rebuilding of the wall. That's what's going on. The rebuilding of the wall is happening, and they keep asking him, hey, come and speak with us. Come and talk with us. Hey, come and do these things. And what's amazing is Nehemiah says to them, I am doing a great work, and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you? And they sent to me four times in this way, and I answered them in the same manner. In other words, ladies, don't let anybody distract you from the incredibly important and great work of raising your kids and loving your family. I promise you, as a guy whose kids are all gone and live in other states, it goes by way too fast. You don't have the time that you think you have. Now, I love my girls. I'm so proud of all of them. They're amazing young ladies, and I wouldn't change a thing, but I'm telling you, it went by faster than I thought it would. And I had less time than I thought I did. So I'm encouraging you, whether your kids are young or old, don't stop an incredible work that mothers, you alone can do, to go and chase something that really will not matter to you in a few years. Keep doing the great work as long as you have time. Can I get an amen on that? Amen? Okay. All right. So very quickly, a faith-filled mother develops spiritual growth in her husband and children, and even further, your grandchildren. Maybe you're an aunt to others. This is incredibly important that you take every chance that you get, or if you need to and the chances aren't coming your way, then you create them. Then you create the chances for you to pour into somebody. And I'm wrapping up here real quickly. I'm just telling you that if we're waiting for everything to be perfect when we're pouring into our kids, we're not sowing seeds like God said to do in the parable of the sower. He said, the parable of the sower begins this. There was a sower, and he went out to sow seeds. Your job, my job, as a person who loves the Lord is to go out and sow seeds. Not to make sure the soil is perfect, not to make sure that the water is perfect, not to make sure that the location of the soil is perfect. Like, all that stuff can absolutely drain you and keep you distracted from the great work. So instead, you just say, no matter what, I'm giving it to my kids every chance I get about how important God can be and ought to be and why he's important in our family's life. And if it doesn't come up naturally, then you say, you know what? I want to talk about spiritual things for just a minute. And they'll be like, oh, mom, you know, and then they'll listen. Why? Because it's important and they know it. And there's nobody else in their life that's speaking into their life about spiritual things. That's why you have a very unique position and why this is a great work that you cannot stop and you cannot come down from and you cannot be distracted from. Can I get an amen? Amen? Okay. Can I get a better amen than that, y'all? All right. Y'all are like, he's about to finish if we can get him a good amen. I know. I'm cheap. I bought easy. I get it. All right. So I just simply don't have time to go through all of it, but I love this. Did y'all know that Isaac's name means laughter? What did God say to you? Oh yeah, you laughed. I heard you laughing. I saw you laughing. So she names him Isaac, which means laughter or he laughs. She took the thing that would have been cringy and embarrassing in her life and brought it to a place where she glorified God through it. I think there's a lot there that I just don't have time to go through. But I think there's something there for us to listen to and think about the fact that, yeah, you know what? God is able and he can redeem, meaning buy back everything that I've done that I am ashamed and embarrassed of, and yet God can still use in a powerful way if I give it to him and own it and give it over to him. Very quickly, some big questions. Are you taking advantage of every opportunity that you have to develop the spiritual life of your family? Or maybe you just need to create some opportunities as well because they're not coming in the same way that they should be. Create them yourself. You can do that. You're the mama. Are you doing a great work in your family's life? This is where we ought to be. And are you allowing other things to distract you? Because you will regret the time that you do not have later on. Take advantage of the time that you do have now. And here's an I apply by. Make it a goal to speak about your faith one time in passing and one time in a deeper way, at least once a week to your family. Maybe you're like, well, I already do that. Hey, great, that's cool. But for many of you, you're not. You're just hoping that sometime that will happen, but you're not realizing that you can take advantage and make these opportunities. By the way, like I said, don't be afraid to repeat yourself because it will matter and it will find a place to lodge. I just want to share this with you very quickly. I shared this with you last week, didn't have the chance to talk all about it, but my mom wrote this book. That's my mom, Judith Combs Puckett, and she wrote this book about my family. And here's what it says. The century that transpired during the lives of Cecil and Norma Combs, that's my grandparents, began its journey in a horse and wagon across rural America and ended in the International Space Station. Because my uncle Billy, that, you know, lives in Knoxville, Tennessee with my daughter Tori, he kind of created the place that housed the rocket that went up to the space shuttle, or pardon me, the space station and dropped off people. It's an amazing story. Their news first came by word of mouth and finally by instant messaging via the internet. How did they survive such enormous changes and challenges and yet maintain their sanity and balance? The key ingredient was their faith in God's sovereignty and providence. They raised a family of 14 children. Yeah, 14. 14 children, believing that God was in charge of their lives, had a specific plan for them, and would provide everything that they needed to fulfill that plan. Like so many of the greatest generation, they were humble, ordinary people who lived each day by the dictates of their heart. Despite living simple lives, they impacted thousands of people. They were faithful to the task that God set before them, and they loved people. Rather than quoting the golden rule, they lived it. This is the story of the history, the struggles, and the victory of an ordinary family. This is the story of Cecil and Norma Combs, two people who lived by faith. And I just share with you, I believe with all of my heart, that a big reason that I am a pastor today has to do with the pastor that was my grandfather. I called him Pawpaw. There's so much that we learn from others that have gone on before us. And I want to encourage you to live your life by faith. How do you make the navigations between covered wagon to International Space Station? How is that possible? You have to choose a path that is timeless and give all to going all in on the things that we know to be things that will outlive and outlast us. Your faith, my faith specifically. So I encourage you to live by faith and be something, make that something that you pass down to those who are in your life. Heavenly Father, please bless our mothers, bless our families, Lord, and in every way, I pray that you would guide and lead in their life. Make them aware of the opportunities that they have. Help them to take full advantage of those opportunities as long as they have them, creating them if they must. But Lord, we trust you in our lives. We trust you with the ends, the means, and the timeline of what you're doing. And we pray that you would be glorified by our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody together said, amen. Amen. Thank you guys so much for your time and attention. I'm going to turn it over to Kendall and Kenya and these beautiful kids.